Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to The Death of Journalism. In today's epic podcast, Zig is going to explain when, why, and how he became a never-Trump conservative, and Liz is going to challenge him every step of the way. I'm Mike Agovino, and here with The Death of Journalism, Episode 9, Never Ever, is our host, Liz Habib.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to The Death of Journalism, Episode 9. So NBC, let's run back to the Paul Pelosi case today, because NBC just cemented, or maybe not, John. I can't wait to hear what you have to say. The conspiracy narrative in the Paul Pelosi case. I cannot believe the media and what they do. And I'm looking forward to today, John, so that you can re-explain to me why you are a never Trumper. And then you can explain to everybody what makes you unique among the never Trump conservatives out there. And this is the day after, the morning after President Trump has announced that he is running for president again. And by the way, John Ziegler, it's good to see you today. In journalism, this is a journalistic practice that journalism has thrown out the door. Once you're a president, you're always a president. You're never called a former president. You are always a president. That is the way we do it. Now, the Associated Press style book probably threw that out, and I'm not aware of it. But that was certainly how I was trained. So President Trump has announced that he is running again for president.
All right. Well, before we get to all of that, and I really am looking forward to episode number 9 here for the reasons you just stated, I have to ask you, first of all, where are you today? I mean, you are always in a different city every time we talk. You know, NBC Today Show used to, back in the day, do a very popular feature called Where in the World is Matt Lauer? And I think we ought to be doing Where in the World is Liz Habib?
I'm in Newport Richey, Florida. So I'm outside of Tampa.
Okay, so you're in Florida. And so riddle me this. So I get a call. We tape this in the morning, usually around 8 p.m. Pacific time.
8 a.m.
And I get a call. I get a call at 5:05 a.m. this morning, waking me up out of a very deep, unusually deep sleep. And it's so Liz Habib asking me where the hell I am because I'm not ready to tape the podcast at 5:05 a.m. Pacific time.
All I could think is like the last conversation you and I had was 7:45, Liz. Yeah, 7:45, John. Yeah, 7:45. Okay, I'll see you at 7:45.
Right.
So all I had in my head was 7:45. So I get to work this morning. It's 7:45. I get to work and I'm texting. By the way, you don't even understand. I have to like drop someone. I drop my brother off, you know, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to get a coffee. It's like 7:44 and I'm texting you, John, I'm not going to be ready till 8 a.m. No response. I'm like, what the hell's going on with Ziegler? Did something happen in LA? Am I unaware of something happening in LA? And at like 8, I go, I'm going to be ready at 8. At 8, I'm all hooked up. I'm in, dude. I'm all set. And I call you. I'm like, where the hell are you?
Okay, but here's the part. But Liz, here's the part I don't get. All right. I get being disoriented and confused about time zones, especially since you're moving around all over the place from East Coast to West Coast. But here's what I do not get. I am the most reliable person on the planet, okay? If I say I'm going to be someplace at some time, I'm going to be there. And if I'm not there, I'm going to give you extraordinary warning that something has happened.
Well, can you imagine, though? Can you imagine that in my mind? I want you to understand that in my mind for a few minutes, I got a little worried. I was like, what's going on? Is everything okay with the Zieglers? I got concerned. Was there like something up with the girls? What was up with Allison? That's going on in my mind. I had a moment of that.
But
you know how you get a moment if someone doesn't show up and you're afraid they got in a car accident?
But to me, Liz, you're like the person that found the noose at the Obama Center and decided it was a hate crime. Okay. There's a better explanation.
You mean
which is that maybe I'm in Florida and where Ziggy is, it's only 5 a.m. and he's asleep. That never occurred to you?
Oh, my God. No, it didn't occur to me. John, okay. I mean, that's the problem. I went to work at 6 in the morning yesterday. I didn't get home till 11 o'clock at night. I fell asleep on Yellowstone. Yellowstone's like my favorite show ever. And that's it. And then
when I get woken up by a woman unexpectedly at 5 a.m., there better be either a fire or sex involved. And in this case, there was zero of either.
I don't want to call it even stupidity. I just want to. Okay. It's stupidity.
Okay. All right. We got that out of the way. So let's talk about the Trump announcement from last night as we were taping this on Wednesday morning. So Trump, to much drama and much media flourish, although the media flourish very much differed depending on the outlet, and we'll get to that shortly, he announced that he is running for a third time for president of the United States. And since you are the person in this twosome that feels much more favorably towards Donald Trump, why don't you give us your assessment of what you thought of his big announcement?
I didn't watch the whole thing, so I don't know if I can give you a great assessment of it. I don't think you needed to. Okay, well, I laughed.
I don't think anybody watched. You couldn't have watched the whole thing because no one aired the whole thing. Even Fox News Channel didn't air
the whole thing. That's stunning to me. I saw the clips from C-SPAN, by the way. The clips that I watched were from C-SPAN, okay? But it is stunning to me that a man that was once the president of the United States, that has been accused of all of these horrific things, that you wouldn't carry in full his announcement that he's running for president. So it's stunning to me. If you want to talk about something unprecedented, it's all unprecedented, right? Well, was there one president in the history of this, United States of America that ran for office, lost to someone else, and then later ran for office again? I believe there was one. And I'm guessing it's Andrew Johnson.
Well, it's happened a couple times.
It's happened more than once?
But in ancient history, it's never happened in the modern times. Nixon lost in 1960, but he never was president at that time.
Now, I'm talking about a president who's run again.
Nixon ran again in 1968 and won, and 1972 and won, and then, of course, resigned after that. But what was your impression, though, of what you did see?
I he's Trump, I thought that unless I missed these clips, I didn't see clips where he did a strong, like he just kind of was sort of making fun of Biden a little bit. I didn't feel like it was mean. Maybe I didn't see the clips that were mean. I don't know the answer to that, but I laughed with what I saw. Cause I happen to think that Trump can be very, very funny. He makes me laugh.
Occasionally he's funny. I was stunned by what the announcement was all about, because I was expecting it to be unhinged because of his rage that he had expressed towards Republicans, specifically Ron DeSantis and even the governor Youngkin.
You and every other media who likes to use that terminology, unhinged. Now you're going to use the unhinged terminology just like all the rest of them?
Liz, I was telling you what I was expecting. Right? And so I was expecting this guy who had all this pent up anger from the way he'd been being treated by all walks of life, and being blamed for this disappointing performance by the Republican Party, and not having been on live television in a fairly long period of time, especially for him, I was stunned by how, in relative terms, how disciplined he was to stay on what the message was. There was no, I thought Carrie Lake, for instance, was going to be a big part of the speech, that he was going to use the, I believe, unfounded allegations that somehow the election was stolen in Arizona, which is something he has said about the 2020 election, that Arizona was the epicenter of the steal, or one of the epicenters of the steal, Georgia and Pennsylvania, being the others. But but that didn't happen, which was good. I'll give him credit for that. He was able to listen to somebody because somebody had him on a decent leash to keep him message.
John, I got to stop you there. I got to stop you there because, do you really believe somebody controls Donald Trump? You really believe that? Because you're going to talk out of there's nobody controlling
they
Donald
did last
Trump.
Night.
You're going to talk that out was... of both sides of your mouth with this every time, you and every other media, right? It frustrates you. But there's nobody who has Donald Trump under control. Donald Trump's Trump, and he does whatever he wants, John. And he came out, and it's strategic the way he did it. You don't control a guy like him. All right,
well,
go ahead.
Somebody did last night, because that was not what he would have done if left to his own devices, which I'm giving him.
I disagree.
The reason I'm frustrated with you, Liz, is I'm giving him some credit for that he was able to stay on message.
That's sanctimonious. Speaking of which, thanks for the credit, John. I mean, I'm really being facetious here, but I do think this is part of the media thing. You know, like, wow, you know, somebody controlled him. No. Nobody controls Donald Trump. I mean, if you think that he's taking a pill some night before he's giving a speech, or somebody pulls him aside and says, now, Big Don, before you go out there, big man, okay, take a deep breath and exhale. And just remember, don't sound unhinged. I mean, you really think somebody does that?
I don't think that's the way it works. But clearly, again, we're getting bogged down on this, but there were none of the normal grievances that you would have expected, especially under the current circumstances that Trump faces. It was fairly straightforward. It was way, way, way too long, which is why it's absurd, the concept that anybody, even Fox News Channel, would have carried this whole thing live. It went well over an hour in its totality, and there was no need for that. I do question from a strategic standpoint, and we'll get into the media angle of this momentarily, but I do question from a strategic standpoint whether or not him feeling forced out of his insecurity about other people potentially running and needing to Bigfoot the field has put him in a situation that may be at best difficult and at worst might be untenable going forward, because Donald Trump, and you've already alluded to it, you know, you think I'm not objective about Donald Trump. I believe I'm incredibly objective about Donald Trump, because I do give him credit when he deserves it. And I do defend him when he gets unfairly attacked in the media. And I've done that for years. But what I don't think you fully give me credit for is he is somebody who is a genius at, much like Madonna, recreating himself and creating content in order to keep himself in the news, keep himself relevant, keep the story moving so that people don't get bored. I honestly don't know how he's going to do that for the next 13 months until there's an actual Republican primary contest. I don't know how he's going to do that, Liz.
I think he'll surprise you.
The guy that I saw last night, where he was shooting his political wad in November of 2022, 13 months before there's any actual contests, was not the guy. I mean, even Jeb Bush Jr. Tweeted jokingly that Donnie looked low energy, since that was his nickname for his dad, Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush Jr. did that, which I thought was kind of funny and also accurate. I mean, there was no excitement. There was no energy. There was no pizzazz. There was no show business. To me, it was boring. That was the shock. It was disciplined, and it was boring. And
I laughed. Well, right before the part where he goes, "I'm running for president of the United States," he basically said something like, "I don't know," something about the American dream. And he goes, "And Joe, it's two words. And Joe, unlike what Joe says, and you know, he says Joe or Biden says, he says some things, and you know, like when he went to Iowa and said." The great state of Florida. I mean, I laughed. And then in the next sentence, he said he was running for the president again. You know, so
I think
before you go on, first of all, you compared Donald Trump to Madonna. Boy, that's a sight in this day and age, right? Madonna, I don't even know what to say about her anymore with where she is and how she keeps reinventing herself. She doesn't even look like herself anymore. God bless it. I love Madonna, right? That's my generation, Madonna.
But see, that's partially why the analogy works.
Well, which is why I went back to the analogy, because everybody cringed when they heard Madonna. But she keeps herself in the conversation. Whether we cringe or don't cringe with Madonna, she's in the conversation. She came up in a dinner conversation with me the other day. That's why I'm mentioning this. I was like, whoa, that's interesting, because Madonna with her implants in her butt came up in my dinner conversation the other day. So he keeps himself relevant is what I'm going to say. And so you and your – here's your thing. It's not what you would have expected, but here's what I think the media tends to do. They play off their expectations, whatever they think they expect. Where really, if you're a good journalist, you better shelve those expectations or go in with an expectation, but keep an open mind. Keep an open mind. That's what's not happening in the world.
Well, that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about the fact that
the death of journalism.
I'm talking about the fact that he's going to have a very difficult time manipulating the news media, which is normally his forte, to be able to keep himself new, relevant, exciting, and relevant to what's going on in the world. Because, for instance, right now he's not on Twitter. He can't post on Facebook. It does seem clear that Fox News Channel is not going to have him on anytime he wants. At best, obviously, we're not connecting on that particular take of the speech. So let's talk about the media coverage.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Of what happened. And I sent you a tweet from NPR and their description of Donald Trump's announcement that even I, as an anti-Trumper, found to be utterly ridiculous and offensive. It read, "Breaking: Donald Trump, who tried to overthrow the results of the 2020 presidential election and inspired a deadly riot at the Capitol in a desperate attempt to keep himself in power, has filed to run for president again in 2024, which, Liz, I'm not quite sure you could parody that as an announcement headline from a liberal outlet if you tried. I even did try to do so, and I'm not sure that I could. This is kind of like announcing Dr. Fauci's retirement as breaking. Dr. Fauci, who blew the AIDS epidemic and may have started the COVID pandemic and who lied about the efficacy of masks and vaccines, has decided to finally retire. I mean, that's basically, which of course you would never see from any mainstream news media outlet. And by the way, that would be far more accurate, I believe, than what the what NPR reported in their particular headline. But Liz, the fact that I can see that that is unfair, biased, unprofessional, and inaccurate, how does that not also prove that I am indeed objective when it comes to Donald Trump?
Because you use the same words they use. And if you look at the New York Times, it says uses the exact same language. And it goes on and on with all of them because you use the exact same words they do. You call him unhinged. Where in this is it our position and our job to use a descriptive like that with somebody in the public eye? It's not. Our job is to present facts, right? That's our job, except for all the pundits and the people who think they're pundits and the people who think they're smarter than me on MSNBC and CNN, right? And Fox and all the other ones, okay? All the other ones, right? If everyone could just take a step back and look at what's going on, you yourself said there was not much to that announcement, right? And by the way, him going longer than an hour, that's typical Trump. He always has long speeches, right? and the crowd seemed very engaged with his speech. But just because you can see how biased that is, how can you not see how biased that is? That's the crazy part to me. Anyone who cannot see how biased that is doesn't have a good understanding of what real journalism is.
Right. And so we knew that the left-wing media was going to handle Trump's announcement in that way. I actually was a little bit more fascinated by how the television media handled Trump's big announcement. And I, in fact, frankly, I found that the cable networks were fascinating in the different ways that they handled the situation, specifically MSNBC, CNN, and Fox News. Now, all three handled it very, very differently and in a very telling fashion. Let's go through it. In a weird way, I actually think that the way CNN did it was the most bizarre, because CNN, obviously, their position, if you will, in the political landscape is clearly that, you know, basically that tweet from NPR is accurate, that Donald Trump is a mortal threat to democracy, that that, you know, he was a terrible president, and that he's a danger to our society, right? Okay, I disagree to the extent that they believe that. I think that's exaggerated, but there's some element of truth to it in my view. But if that's what you believe as an outlet, then how do you possibly justify doing a hour-long, basically, pre-game show with Anderson Cooper and bringing in, you know, Woodward and Bernstein to talk about how significant this event that we're going to see later on in the evening is, and then carry the whole, not the whole thing, but the whole thing through his announcement and a little bit after that. So a significant portion of the speech, at least 20, 25 minutes of it, live. I mean, how do you give live airtime that someone that you believe is a mortal threat to the democracy and the future of the United States of America, and then, of course, do, you know, another half hour of post-game coverage analysis, giving this event the stature that Trump would want? To me, that is bizarre, and it's completely contradictory to their own philosophy.
Come on. Please, Liz,
I actually give MSNBC.
Please, John. They make money off it. They make money off it. And that's all there is to it. Let's do a pregame. Let's do a postgame. It's a game. This is a sport. Politics is a sport. Let's do a pregame show and talk about everything he might talk about. How's he going to act? Oh, he might be unhinged. Okay, let's watch it. Wow, somebody. Then they watch it. Blah, 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 blah. Wow, somebody had him under control tonight. Sounds a lot like somebody I know.
Liz, I get all that, and I was heading in that direction, that what they're doing in a much more somber fashion, we're not going to show any excitement during this because some of our, what's left of our viewership might get offended if we show excitement over Donald Trump like we did in 2016, but we're still going to give him the same kind of stature and airtime that caused this whole problem to begin in 2016. I mean, that's the, we have to remember that the whole reason why Donald Trump became president in the first place is that the left-wing media, along with the right-wing media, went so bananas and gave him so much stature, so much free airtime, so much free coverage. A lot of it was actually very positive, that he was able to steamroll through a very crowded Republican field in 2016. And that's how he won the nomination and eventually how he won the presidency. But what I'm saying here is that CNN is guilty of blatant hypocrisy, where at least MSNBC, who I despise as the liberal network, at least they were somewhat consistent, because if you believe what MSNBC claims to believe, it makes sense not to carry the speech live. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm not asking you to agree with it. What I'm saying is that internally, there's an internal contradiction in what CNN did that was actually far worse, in my view, than what MSNBC did. I can at least somewhat respect MSNBC being consistent with their overall political philosophy that Trump is a danger to the nation, and we're not going to give a danger to the nation free, unfettered, uncensored airtime to say whatever the hell he wants to say, which is a privilege. Now, there's a news story there that he's announcing for president, but there's a way to handle that. When it happens, you report that it happened, which is what MSNBC did. You play a short taped clip. Here he is announcing. And, you know, maybe some analysis, and you move on if that's your philosophy. I have absolutely no problem with that journalistically, especially, Liz, when it's November of 2022, which was what I was trying to get into earlier, that this is unprecedented, that someone's going to announce this early. And I think that it's a sign of desperation on Trump's part that's going to cause him problems down the road. You disagree with that. Now, as far as Fox News Channel is concerned, this was the most important reaction to the speech, because if Trump is going to pull this off and win the Republican nomination and potentially the presidency for a third time, as far as the nomination is concerned, and potentially a second time to win the presidency, Fox News Channel is a key component of this equation. You would agree with that, right, Liz?
Nope, I do not.
You don't think he needs Fox News Channel?
No. John, how many times am I going to say this? I said it in our last podcast. I'll say it in this podcast, and I'm going to continue to say it going forward. Your mindset is biased on Donald Trump. You don't want to believe this, and you're going to lay this all out for us a little bit about why you think the way you think. But your mindset is also biased toward the history of the United States and the way we have done things in the past. Now, let me take a phrase that you just used about CNN. What's left of your viewership? What's left of your viewership is a very key word right there. People are not watching these stations anymore. Okay? And no, I don't think Fox is that key to it. You also said that you think this is a sign of desperation for Donald Trump. That means what you think is this guy has no plan whatsoever. Whatsoever. And I just think that's crazy talk. That's exactly what you and all the other people on these stations think about Trump. But the guy isn't where he is, regardless of what you think. He was the president of the United States, and he got to the position of president of the United States. You yourself said he saw opportunity to control the media in 2016, and he did it. So something new is going on here, John, and I think he's circumventing the media now. So no, I don't think Fox is important. You can stick with your narrative, but everything about our political system is different. We have mail-in ballots. We never had that. Votes take a week. No wonder no one trusts the American system anymore. This isn't 2016. It's a completely different world than it was in 2016. So stick with me, John. My mind's way past all of this now, because I have a really hard time believing. There are whole news stations that have sprung up here. Right? News Nation, Newsmax, what else is there out there? There are all new networks and things. Right? You can go on and on about all the different things that have sprung up because of what happened from the time Trump was elected, because of the way the media acted.
Liz, I am fully aware that the world is changing at a rapid pace and that the media is changing at a very rapid pace. However, this is a man who is not allowed currently to post on Twitter, which was a huge part of his 2016 campaign. He can't post on Facebook. And if Fox News Channel, as has been widely reported, although I think erroneously, see, I based upon, and I was trying to get to this, based upon last night's reaction by Fox News Channel to the speech, I do not believe the stories that are out there that Rupert Murdoch has already told Donald Trump that he's not going to be president again. The decision has been made that he's going to be, you know, his candidacy will be ignored or trounced by Fox News Channel, that the keys to the empire have been handed over to Ron DeSantis. I think that's a fantasy. I don't think that's happened yet. And I have a theory about what really is happening, which hopefully I'll get to momentarily. But I think that the idea that he can do this and win the nomination without Fox News Channel at least, being neutral and continuing to give him the same kind of access and coverage that he's used to, that to me is fanciful. That to me is impossible, because while the world has changed, he still needs to be able to communicate to his base and mobilize them and excite them and go. And it's a base that is, while large, it is shrinking. And there's evidence already of that in poll data that just came out this week, both scientific and unscientific poll data. And I know you don't believe in polls, but the reality is that the base of his support, while still very strong and very significant within the Republican Party, is shrinking. And so, look, you might be right, Liz. I mean, maybe the whole world has changed. But to me, I think the Fox News Channel is a key component. They're not everything, but they are a key component to whether or not Trump is going to be able to pull this off. And what we saw last night, to me, was fascinating. I watched it very carefully. Fox News Channel did not do a quote-unquote pregame show. They acted totally normal before his announcement, which was 9 o'clock Eastern time. And then they carried it live on the Hannity show. So Hannity's show was already obviously scheduled at 9 p.m. Eastern. They carry the speech live. Now, here was where it got kind of funny, because at around 40, 45 minutes into this thing, maybe 35, 35 to 45 minutes in, somewhere in that range, the Hannity show comes out of the speech in order to tell the Fox audience how incredibly awesome the speech is. Now listen to how crazy that is. The speech is so awesome, we have to stop carrying it for the next 15 minutes to tell you how awesome this speech is. What was the first part that I found to be rather hilarious and a contradiction? Then they had on their normal cast of characters, you know, Jim Jordan, Leo Terrell, who is a black talk show host in Los Angeles, who's a former liberal, the last man in America, who I think sincerely believed O.J. Simpson was innocent. I mean, the guy's a complete moron and a fraud, but because he decided
Leo,
he was going to
Leo's a friend of mine, and well, I don't think that about Leo.
Well,
I don't think that about Leo.
You don't think he believes O.J. Simpson is innocent? That's how he made his name, was O.J. Simpson's innocent. And now he's a conservative commentator on Fox News Channel? Give me a break.
I think his argument is more about the system than whether O.J. Simpson is innocent.
No, he always said O.J. was actually innocent, which is hilarious. And disqualifying. I mean, that's disqualifying. It's disqualifying from society. So anyway, the point is they have on their normal cast of characters and they're all going through the motions saying, this is wonderful. This is Trump at his best. This is why Trump's going to be the next president. Oh my gosh, we're so lucky to have him. But the whole thing felt, Liz, very much like the 17th anniversary obligatory sex between a wife who no longer really loves her husband but feels obligated to have sex with him on their anniversary. They were just faking it. They were going through the motions. I don't know how long they're going to be able to sustain this fake excitement, especially now that Trump has shot his electoral wad by announcing in November of 2022. But what I saw was a group of people that were basically pledging their public loyalty to Donald Trump so that when Trump watched it, they would still be in his good graces, but are not at all super excited about Donald Trump being the Republican nominee and potentially the next president of the United States. I mean, they could magically make him president. I fully acknowledge that those people.
So that's your analysis of watching them? You decided they're not excited? Maybe it has to do with the fact that we've got 2 years of this coming up, you know? And
well,
by the way,
part of what
he'll always
saying,
have
Liz.
Sean Hannity. Well, that doesn't mean they're not excited about him running. That means, are you excited about anybody who won when they don't even get to make a victory speech and it's been a week later? You yourself have said the excitement is gone from politics. This is a different type of system we're in now, John. This is what you're making the argument for everything that I'm telling you. He's always going to have Hannity. He and Hannity are, you know, They're tight. Saturday Night Live made a good joke about it the other night. I can't remember it, but it was good.
No, Hannity is not going to leave him until the very, very, very end, if ever. Now, just to finish.
But I think the whole world's going to change. You're talking about the media. We're 2 years out. John, you're putting a whole lot like Trump has to pull this out. Trump has to pull this out. Back in the days of Clinton, very famous thing that they said while they were campaigning. It's the economy, stupid. We're about to hit it, John, and we're already there. People just don't realize it. We're already there. Inflation's killing them. They haven't gotten raises. When you don't have a raise and there's inflation, you had a pay cut. And it's happening everywhere, John. It's happening. The rents are too high. It's the economy, stupid. Trump doesn't have to do this all alone. It's going to happen with the policies. You've put so much in Trump's pocket here. And what are the Democrats going to do to rein in all of this? They're going to keep handing out money? Because that's not going to help anybody. What you think inflation's bad now? They're not going to get that inflation down if they hand out money. So Trump isn't just going to have to campaign by himself because the Democratic system's going to campaign for him. If you don't think it's coming, it's the economy, stupid. It's coming. And George Stephanopoulos, who shouldn't be on TV at the helm of any type of media show, he was the guy who, one of the guys who said it. who came up with it, right? He doesn't belong as the host of Good Morning America. He's biased from the get-go. So I just think that you're still in an irrational world, John. You're right. Let me use your terminology that you like to say. An irrational world, that makes perfect sense. Why would they stop a speech and come out to say it's awesome? But we don't live in a rational world anymore. We live in a world where all anybody does is gaslight us. Is that the right word? Gaslight us the entire way. The entire way. So if you want to keep your eyes closed to it, go ahead. I'm not.
Well, Liz, as far as your point that somehow Democratic incompetence will do all the work for Trump, I don't know if you're aware, but we just had an election where that didn't happen.
Oh, John, the economy hasn't hit yet. It's coming.
Okay.
It's there.
All right.
People just haven't gotten it. Let's remember, John, we're going to come back to this day. We're going to come back to this day.
Okay. Look, I have no idea where the economy is going to go in the next 2 years, and you may be right about
it. Let me give you a couple things on that. 2 days ago, Jeff Bezos said, don't buy anything big. Don't buy those big TVs as we come into Christmas. Jeff Bezos said it publicly. Yesterday, I think, Elon Musk said he is very concerned about what's going on with the economy, right? So there you go. You know, their warnings are there. They're loud.
So Fox News Channel, after Hannity went through with his obligatory, anniversary sex with Trump for an hour, went to Laura Ingraham, who basically, she pretended to be somewhat excited. She gave a salute and lip service, but then she quickly moved on. Now, what I took away from, now you think it's all irrelevant, so, you know, I won't spend too much time on it, but I personally do believe how Fox News Channel handles Trump is going to be significant, very potentially very significant going forward. The way I'm perceiving their coverage is, number one, there has been no edict from Rupert Murdoch to kill Trump, at least not now.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I don't believe Fox News Channel is ever going to kill Trump, because they would lose too much of their core audience, and they don't want to have blood on their hands. Would they really like it if somehow Trump faded away? and somebody else new and exciting took over? Yeah, I'm, other than Hannity, I'm convinced that that's actually the case. But they're not going to do anything to facilitate it, at least not until there's no other option. Now, if we get to a year from now and there's five candidates in the race, which is exactly what Trump wants. Trump needs more than just Ron DeSantis in the race, because we've already seen some polling in key states where DeSantis is spanking Trump, and some of these online polls, while highly unscientific, have been astonishing. There was one on Clay Travis's, who's a hardcore Trump supporter, talk show host, on his Twitter feed, where hundreds of thousands of people voted between Trump and DeSantis got over 80% of the vote between them. I'm sure that Travis himself was stunned by this. And so if we're in a situation a year from now where there are five candidates and Trump is still winning because he has 32% of support, because his cult is unstoppable and will never fade away from him to that degree, then I could see maybe at that point in an emergency situation, Fox News Channel trying to do something, but it might be too late by then. So I do not believe, once again, I believe showing my objectivity, these stories that so many people want to believe, that Fox News Channel and News Corp and Rupert Murdoch have already made the call that Trump isn't going to be the guy. I don't believe that. because I think we would have seen Fox News Channel handle things differently last night than what they did. But look, you might be right. Maybe all the old rules are completely different and Trump can continue to do this based nothing more than an email list and an occasional appearance on radio and minor television networks. I guess that's possible because obviously he's got 100% name recognition and he's got a cult of a significant portion of the Republican Party that isn't going to fade away from him. I get that. But on a head-to-head matchup, Liz, and I'll just say this one more time, a head-to-head Ron DeSantis versus Donald Trump in a fair matchup where the conservative media isn't completely in the tank for Donald Trump, Ron DeSantis kicks his ass. I believe
that. I just
think
you're listening to polls that come out that are completely, they're completely unwarranted. Of course they came out with all these polls. What if Ron DeSantis, this is the thing. What if Ron DeSantis, it was Ron DeSantis and him. Ron DeSantis hasn't said anything about running. Nothing's gone on here. This is just the media wish list. That's what it is. The media, the pollsters.
Well, there's no question there's some of that.
Of course the pollsters will put it out. Of course the Republicans will put out. The Democrats are loving it. And so the media repeats it. It's the media wish list. Because it's based in no reality whatsoever right now. That's the truth.
Well,
there's the truth.
There's a very good chance Ron DeSantis never runs. He's never said he's not going to run. His statement in response to Trump, I thought, was tremendous. He basically just said, look at the scoreboard, and didn't directly address them, didn't take anything out on Trump. Despite that's what the media wanted. The media obviously would have loved Ron DeSantis to go after Trump. He was smart enough not to do that. But I'm telling you, if it were to occur, I believe that Trump is very vulnerable to losing. And I think Trump knows that, which is why he announced way too early, because he's trying to Bigfoot everybody and he's trying to cock block everybody else. And that to me is a sign of great insecurity. Liz, we have 7 years of public statements and actions by Donald Trump to be able to evaluate his mindset. And this actually gets me to what I hoped would be the essence of this particular episode of the podcast, which is why it is that I am an anti-Trump conservative, because I believe, unlike you, I believe that Donald Trump is not a chess player. So you seem to think that there's a grand strategy that Trump has already mapped out the next 25 moves. And the reason why we don't know why he announced so early, but there's got to be a reason for it. And what I'm saying is, no, the Trump that I know from watching him for more than the last 7 years, but specifically the last 7 years, he's not a chess player. He's a checkers player. And he wanted to jump a couple of moves right now because of whatever in his mentality, whether he was a fearful of other people getting in, that he wanted to intimidate people, he wanted to change the narrative, whatever it was in his mind, that's all he's thought it through. He hasn't thought it through beyond much more than today, Liz. Because we know this because we have a record of who he is and how he acts. He's a checkers player. He might not even be a checkers player. He's a Candyland player. I mean, he does not have any grand strategy.
You said that somehow someone controlled him, and then you just said that he's not controllable. He's not controllable. No one's controlling him, John. Based on what you just said, just to take you back to that. So he's a Candyland player. Okay.
I'm going by
he's
years
childish.
Years.
Okay. That's what you're saying. He's childish. Yeah.
He is not a chess player, Liz.
I'm not trying to defend him. I just think what I'm trying to do is say your narratives that you come up with, he changes you and everybody else who's an anti anything. You come up with your narratives without even knowing really what's going on, but you think you do, because let's base this on the past. So different now. There's mail-in voting. John, I mean, we're going to keep talking about a system that's really changed.
Okay. All right. So can I explain? I know it's not going to work, but can I explain in some detail,
John,
how I got to my position?
You're not here to change my mind. That's not the way this is. That's not the way. And still, I like you, John. And still, I like you, no matter how much we disagree on things, because I don't believe in that world.
Okay. But So do you want to hear me out or not?
John, do I have a choice? Let me ask you a question. Do I have a choice?
All right. Here's how I came to my position on Donald Trump. And this is the as quick as I can do it version of the story, because we don't have as much time as I'd personally like, and you're clearly bored by this. So here it goes. My first indirect interaction with Donald Trump came back in the late 1980s, when Donald Trump was first becoming a media darling as this brash new real estate millionaire in New York City who Barbara Walters fell in love with and, you know, fit a narrative that the media felt at the time was helpful. And as it turned out, Donald Trump was trying to buy a yacht that would later become known as the Trump Princess, that got a lot of publicity at the time. He bought it from a Saudi prince of some repute, disrepute or otherwise. And the person that he went to, the company that he went to in order to get the money to buy the yacht, was the Boston Company, which my father was working for at the time. And my father's job was to meet with Trump and determine whether or not it made sense to give Trump the money to buy this yacht. And my father came away completely convinced that it was a bad idea to give Donald Trump the money, and told his boss, a guy by the name of Jim von Germanton, a guy who turned out to be a complete crook later on, and who was enamored with Trump's celebrity, that this was a bad idea. And von Germanton told my dad, now I really want to get into business with Trump because it'll be good for publicity. Let's give him the money. And my dad said, okay, fine, we'll give him the money, but I don't think he's going to pay it back. That's a short version of it. Well, sure enough, that's exactly what happened. Trump couldn't really afford to buy the Trump Princess. He never fully paid it off. And my father was then forced to do a second deal involving Mar-a-Lago, where to give Trump some credit, he pulled off a remarkably beneficial financial deal for himself. Although the way my father tells it, it was kind of a scam, where he somehow was able to use government money to be able to obtain Mar-a-Lago, which is his pride and joy to this day. And by and large, my father's view of Trump's ability and willingness to pay back his debts was vindicated. A story that most people don't know, although it's been reported, is that a few years later, when the real estate market went to crap and Donald Trump's fortune, as fake as it already was exposed, there was a meeting of several different banks, the Boston Company being one of them, where with Donald Trump cowering in the corner of the room, there was a debate on what to do with him, whether to kill him financially or let him live. And basically the decision was made, well, because his name recognition is so high and his brand still has some value, if we kill him now, we have no chance of ever getting any of our money back. So let's keep him alive and see what we can get out of this. And so they decide to give him an allowance of a little over $300,000 a month so that he can pretend to be rich and keep his brand going. And of course, none of these companies ever got fully paid back in the end, because Donald Trump is a survivor and a shyster and a fraud and a scam artist. But he was able to successfully get through all that and then reinvent himself once the real estate market came back. Now, during this next interlude, Donald Trump had spent numerous election cycles pretending, people forget this, pretending that he was going to be a presidential candidate. He flirted about this all the time. And he was going to be a Reform Party candidate on a couple of different cycles, but it never worked out because no one wanted to fund him. He didn't really have the money to do it by himself. And, you know, there was never the popular desire for it, and he never had the guts to actually pull the trigger. Then, as we get past the Obama election, and Obama starts to take shots at Trump, and Trump has bought his way. People don't know this either, Liz. Trump buys his way $100,000 a pop so that he is allowed to speak at CPAC, the conservative conference that's held every year in the Washington, D.C. area, a conference I used to speak at on an annual basis, but they're a complete fraud, this organization. I didn't know it at the time. But Trump is able to pretend that he's a conservative by getting speaking roles at CPAC on consecutive years, paying $100,000 a pop to do so, and be able to fool conservatives in the Obama era that somehow he's one of them. So then this then sets up in his mind the opportunity to run for president once Obama is gone. Of course, Obama would be gone in 2016. You already know the story where I briefly met Trump in 2014 backstage at the Today Show, where I had done an appearance regarding the Penn State Joe Paterno Jerry Sandusky scandal, where we eventually did a podcast called With the Benefit of Hindsight. And on With the Benefit of Hindsight, I talk about how I was stunned by my short but very interesting interaction with Trump, because Trump had actually supported Joe Paterno publicly, one of the few celebrities to do so. And what I found was a guy who was just exactly as everyone believes him to be, which is a narcissist beyond all comprehension, completely incurious, no intellectual curiosity whatsoever. Everything is totally about him. Didn't care at all about the subject matter. He was very polite, but it was all about him. It was all about Donald Trump. And I found that to be fascinating. And at the time, I wasn't even thinking about him as a presidential candidate, but clearly he was thinking about it, because Pennsylvania, which was the topic of the conversation, ends up being a centerpiece of his presidential campaign, which would launch just over a year later. Now, when Trump originally announced in 2015, I knew it was trouble immediately. I did not think he was going to be the nominee. I thought that there would be forces strong enough to eventually stop him. But I quickly changed my mind, because what I saw was what Trump was doing was a hostile takeover, disguised as a presidential campaign, of the conservative media industrial complex, which, having lived within it for two decades, I realized was incredibly vulnerable to a takeover. Because the conservative media industrial complex, which was controlled by a very few people, at this time it was Rush Limbaugh, Matt Drudge, Bill O'Reilly, and maybe a couple of their friends, Sean Hannity, that kind of thing. Those were the people that were controlling the whole thing. Everything filtered down from that. And this was a business disguised as a cause. And Trump understood this better than anybody. And he also understood that at the time when he announced, which was very early in the late summer of 2015, there was a massive news hole, and that these news organizations needed some content. They needed some excitement. And so the conservative media bought in, because he was giving them exactly what they wanted: excitement, content, and you know, some new narrative. And what was happening was that Trump was convincing the base, one, that he's a conservative. He was getting the blessing of the conservative media, and he was creating this narrative that he's the only one that is willing and able to fight the fights that normal Republicans won't fight. Now, Liz, this is a really important point that most people do not understand about our politics, and that is that Republicans, as we just proved in this last election, do not have the numbers to be on offense. The Republican Party in this country, especially the way things are going with our youth in this country and the way the media is so biased against Republicans, they cannot be an offensive force. The purpose of the Republican Party is to play defense against Democrats destroying the country. That's the whole point of this. And too many Republicans, frustrated by John McCain and Mitt Romney, who were trying to play nice, and they got beat because the media was against them. And that's how Obama got elected once, but twice. So I understood the frustration, but it's based in a political fallacy. We don't have the numbers to play offense. But Trump convinced people, with the help of the conservative media that was doing this because they first thought it was a great lark, and then they realized, oh my God, this is awesome. we're getting ratings and we might get a brand new nominee. And this is going to be just a tremendous year for us. And then he'll lose, of course, and we'll have Hillary to be able to kick around for 4 years, because that's what the conservative media wants. The conservative media is much happier having a Democratic president than a Republican president. A Republican president is terrible for the conservative media. So Trump provided them with exactly what they wanted in every possible way. And so as this was happening, my hair was on fire, because I realized well before anybody else exactly how it was going to go down. That Trump was going to do a hostile takeover of the Republican Party. I thought he would lose to Hillary, which is what the conservative media really wanted. Although in his case, because he was so off the wall, so bizarre and so box office and so new and exciting, they could probably deal with him winning at least for one term. And so I correctly realized he was going to win the nomination. I did not realize he was going to beat Hillary. But Liz, I actually believe to this day that the country and the conservative movement and the Republican Party would have been far better off if Hillary had won. And going back to the chess analogy and offense versus defense, here's basically what happened. This chessboard was at 50-50 at best. And Donald Trump took the other side's queen in Hillary. And there was much joy across the conservative land. Oh my God, he took the queen. He beat Hillary. He's a god. Oh, this is the greatest thing of all time. But in order to take the queen, he allowed the board to be totally vulnerable to a hostile takeover by the other side. He left us completely vulnerable to a disaster. This is what I mean by defense versus offense. He went on offense. He took the queen. But now the rest of the board was open to being swept away by Democrats. And that's what happened in 2018 in the midterm elections, just as I predicted. And then COVID hit in 2020. And COVID ends up being the weapon with which Democrats take the rest of the chessboard. And Donald Trump, because he is naive and because he's a coward and because he's easily manipulated and because he doesn't really have the balls he claims to, got played. He got played. He crapped the bed. And he enabled everything the Democrats wanted to do. He condemned Sweden for not having restrictions. He promoted the lockdown. He condemned Georgia for opening up too soon. He to this day, thinks that the vaccines are the greatest thing that's ever happened in the history of man. He continues to lie about how somehow his restrictions and the travel ban saved millions of lives, allowing this BS COVID narrative to be fixed forever in the media's mindset, because after all, even Donald Trump accepts that the restrictions saved millions of lives. That was a lie with which the Democrats are using. They're using this lie and have used it and will continue to use it to stick a spike through the heart of America. And that was done not only under Donald Trump's watch, that was done with him enabling it. He got duped by Fauci. He made Fauci who Fauci was. He put him on television. He made him a massive celebrity. And then takes no responsibility for what he did. And so to me, COVID, even if you love everything else Trump ever did, and he did some great things. He stuck by Brett Kavanaugh in a way no other president ever would have. He got a conservative, supposed conservative majority on the Supreme Court that probably no other president would have been able to manufacture under those political circumstances. He deserves credit for that. That's great. The economy was great under him for the first 3 years. I don't know how much credit he deserves for that, but that was the fact. But when COVID hit and we really found out what was going on and the rubber met the road and you really test somebody's mettle, he came up tiny. He was a fraud. And he was ill-suited. He was fundamentally ill-suited for the position. He was the most fundamentally and obviously unqualified psychologically person that has ever come close to the presidency of the United States. And that has been proven time and time again, because he is psychologically a child. He's a narcissist. He doesn't care about the country. He only cares about himself. And he has duped a large enough number of people in the Republican Party that he somehow is the only person that can fix the country, largely because the conservative media went along with it and because the conservative base has such PTSD because of the unfair media coverage that they have experienced throughout their entire lives. And I totally get the reaction to the unfair treatment that even Trump has gotten at times. I get it. I get it. It plays much to his favor. It plays much, and it may play to his favor again here this time too. I don't know. We'll find out. But the reality is Donald Trump is not, he's literally unfit to be president of the United States. And he is the only candidate, the major candidate, that would allow Democrats to run as a referendum on him as opposed to a referendum on them. You yourself, Liz, said, we're going to see a shit show in the next 2 years. Okay, if we're going to see a shit show in the next 2 years, why would you want to do anything that muddies the water in 2024 over what people are making a decision about? If it's a shit show, you want that referendum to be on Democrats, not on Donald Trump getting a second term at an advanced age. I guess that to me is my number one question for you. Why would you want to do that, Liz? Why would you want to muddy the waters on what should be a clear-cut referendum on the Biden presidency by bringing in somebody who is so hated by over 50% of the American people that 81 million people somehow voted for Joe Biden, who's borderline senile and no one really likes? Why would you want to do that, Liz?
I agree with a lot of you said, a lot of what you said. I agree with a lot of what you said. But 81 million people voted with Joe Biden when we changed the system and allowed mail-in balloting. Okay, you know I'm going to go back to that every time. The system changed. I always wonder why the Democrats weren't prepared for the system change. Gavin Newsom made the announcement on the system change back in May or June of 2020. They didn't prepare for the system change. And now, because of the system change, the mail-in balloting, you know, and people don't trust it. It's so obvious people don't trust it, right? They talk about it constantly. Right? The mail-in balloting. And this isn't just a Republican narrative. It is regular people everywhere, right? So they weren't prepared for the system change. And of course, the media ignored the system change. In fact, embraced the system change of mail-in balloting, right? When people go to bed at night and there's no clear-cut winner,
hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
When we've had a system since the beginning of time that gives you a clear, well, it's not really true since the beginning of time because the balloting probably did take time back many years ago. But still, when we've had a system in our lifetimes, when people have seen a system where the president is declared by the end of the night, every time, this was just a humongous change that the media ignored. And the American people then were shut out of it. Now, let me go through your argument, John. Let me parse your argument. There's no doubt in my mind that your father is a very intelligent man. Because you got it somewhere, right? He is a very intelligent man. He's probably a very, very good businessman. And what he told you, John, was inside baseball. He told you the truth about business. Okay? The truth. We've had downturns in this country in real estate many times in the 1980s, 2000s. 2008 was a huge one, as we all know. As we all know, there are businessmen everywhere who lost their shirts. We saw the bank crash. Do we think all of those people are incompetent? Businessmen lose everything at times. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that they did the greatest thing business wise, right? Did your father, John, ask you a tough question right now? Did your father make any money off of those deals he did with Donald Trump? Did he make any money off this?
He was on a salary, Liz, so it didn't matter.
No commissions, nothing. And that's a good answer.
I don't know whether or not he got a bonus or not. I mean, look, my father made a lot of money.
Everybody makes money.
How much of it?
Yeah, I'm not. This is not an indictment on your father, because I really believe your dad is. And you know what the thing is? You know what I'm going to come back to with you every single time, because I see it. I know what it is. You're so idealistic. You have an idealistic belief about the world. That's you. And when you say you're an optimist, this is what you are. You have an idealistic view. You believe in the truth. And your idealistic view is that businessmen don't do things like that.
No, John, they do.
They do it left and right. They can't repay the loans. They have to fall short. Yes. But I'm going to tell you what he did do there. What, John?
I just want to clarify the reason why that's significant. It's not... No one point in my argument there is why I'm an anti-Trump conservative.
Mom, go through your whole argument.
By the way, the only one that I know of, and I don't give myself credit often, but I'll give myself credit on this. I'm the only public conservative that I'm aware of that has been consistently anti-Trump while still being fair to him and defending him when he deserves it, and who also didn't cave on COVID. I'm the only one in the country.
Yes. I'm going to get to that. Let me get to that. Can you let me get to that?
Can I just finish on my dad real quick?
Listen, I have great respect for your father. I don't want you to take it wrong what I've said to you.
It's not the issue. The issue is his entire argument, Trump's entire argument for his qualifications for president was that he's this business genius. And he's actually a fraud who's not that rich, who doesn't pay his debts. I mean, that doesn't mean
he's not that rich?
It means
where do you get this that he's not that rich?
He's not that rich. He is not that rich. He is not even a billionaire, probably. If he is, it's barely, and it's on paper. It's not real. Look what just happened in the last election. I mean, it's hilarious to me that so many of the Trump supporters are furious that Mitch McConnell didn't give any money to the Senate candidate in Arizona, Masters, who lost by a significant margin to the incumbent Kelly. And not one of them ever thinks, well, gee, it's too bad that Masters didn't have a guy who endorsed him, who's a multi-billionaire with $100 million PAC, who didn't give him hardly anything. Well, where's Trump? If Trump was really a multi-billionaire, he would have cut a check for $20 million and given it to Masters. He didn't do it because he doesn't have that money, because he's a fraud.
That's not why he didn't do it. But maybe he doesn't, but it doesn't. That's not what makes him a fraud. You can't make that judgment call. I love the judgment calls people make on people, whether they're rich or not, whether they do those things. Can you let me come through your argument here a little bit before you get sidetracked on things? Let me come through your argument. I let you give it all, John. I let you give it all.
Let me come through
your argument, right? What happened with your father and with Trump in the 1980s, there is something very, very significant in that story. Right? His name recognition, Trump's name recognition was so high, they decided to keep him financially alive.
Right.
That benefited them. Don't you see it? We'll make money off
that. They didn't get paid back.
It doesn't matter. John, the business world, especially in real estate, in all kinds of ways, look at what happened in 2008 and 9. If you need any more evidence, Goldman Sachs, the Lehman Brothers, you don't need any more evidence. We lived through 2008, 9, 10. You don't need any more evidence. The greatest businessmen in the world and the people who run the Fed and the money policy, et cetera, failed. They all failed. So Trump's something different than them? Because it happened in the 80s, he just did it before they did. That's the difference. Wait a minute, let me get through it.
Upon their business acumen.
No, they're all the same. Businessmen, these things go on with. If we allow, John, other businessmen know what business is, but anybody who hasn't been in that arena doesn't know that arena. His name recognition, they kept him so alive. Isn't that a significant thing ahead of the times? He's ahead of the times, a significant achievement in and of itself. Now, your idealism is that you would think he should return, pay back all the money. But we could go down the line of people who are probably in presidential administrations who didn't pay back the money. Okay, John, I just don't know all of their backgrounds. Let me go back to the CPAC. He paid $100,000 to speak at CPAC. Yeah, John, they all do. Guess what? Knock, knock. They all do. If they're not big time radio hosts or whatever, how do you think you're involved in these organizations? How do you think you get a spot on the speaker panel? you pay for it. That goes on everywhere. Can I just go through it? You can come back and tell me.
No, I agree with you.
CPAC, you can come back and tell me your argument's there. Yes, and you did say it was a fraud. Yeah, and I nodded my head. I went, yeah, that's right. That's probably not the only one. Okay? All right? So his name recognition, though, and everything, you know, just the fact he supported Joe Paterno, to me, would think that you would put so much weight on that. Now, he may not have gone down that path because he had to attack Pennsylvania in a different way, and you and I know how difficult it is to say that Joe Paterno, that they don't believe you support Joe Paterno, right? You and I know how difficult it is to say you support Joe Paterno. But for you, of all people, the guy looked at you and said he supported Joe Paterno. That didn't up the ante there for you a little bit? 8 years of research you did on the Joe Paterno story, 8 years, and we put out a podcast that's 57 hours long. Is that how long it is? 8 years of that? 8 years of that toil, and the guy looks you in the face and says he supports Joe Paterno. Something about what's going on there, he supports Joe Paterno. And you're going to turn your back to that, John? Most people have turned their back on you for supporting Joe Paterno. Most people. And the same thing goes on with me. You know, but we know because you did that 8 years of hard journalistic work, and you deserve a Pulitzer Prize for that work, John. Okay? But that doesn't mean anything to you that the guy did that. And here I am defending Trump. But when I'm not defending Trump, I'm going through your argument to show you that there are so many things in this argument. Now, I began to really agree with you. He did take over. He saw the ability to take over the, and I love that you call it the military and conservative media industrial complex. I'll throw military. They are militants. They're militants. The militant conservative media industrial complex, and we can call it the militant liberal media industrial complex as well, because they are liberal, right? And he saw the vulnerability. And your analysis on this is really spot on, right? The Republicans just don't get the young people, or Bernie would have. Oh my God, Bernie gets something, right? So, and you're right. And the media. This is why we called this the death of journalism, John, because the media is a business disguised as a cause in the right and left, right? And it's destroying everything, right? Did Trump play into the media? I see your disdain for that. That's why we called this the death of journalism, right? So what you're saying too, when you say, this is so interesting that you said he beat Hillary, wow, that's huge, blah, blah, blah. And yes, for a moment or two, it was. But the bottom line is, right, what's Biden going to do for the conservative media? Biden's like a waste of time to even spend a breath on. People aren't listening anymore. You can play, I don't know how many clips of the poor guy forgetting what state he's in, saying everything wrong. I mean, for God's sake, Fetterman got elected in Pennsylvania. The American public doesn't even see it anymore when people don't have the competence to handle an elected office. Hillary, I mean, Rush Limbaugh rose to greatness on the back of attacking Bill Clinton. That was where we all began to know who Rush Limbaugh was, right? Biden isn't giving any conservative media anything to talk about. They got a better shot with Trump. They got a way better shot with Trump, right? You think Rick DeSantis is going to give them anything? Which Democrat, name me a Democrat right now who the conservative media, or the conservative media wants in power. Name one that's going to get them anything. Hillary. Who else?
Gavin
who
Newsom.
Who else is going to have them raised?
If King Gavin Newsom somehow became president, the conservative media would privately have an orgasm in celebration because it would give them as much fodder as they wanted for the next 8 years.
It's easy. It's so easy. It just falls off the cart, man. It's so easy with King Gavin. All right. But when you hit the stride and you said Hillary, that he beat the queen, you know, this was huge, blah, blah, blah. Where you really became the authentic John Ziegler, and you are authentic the whole way through, but where I really heard you, you never waver, was COVID. You hit it. And was he ill-prepared? I happen to believe his biggest mistake was how he talked about and handled COVID. COVID was the weapon that came in, like you said, it was the weapon that came in and took away the American people's rights. COVID was it. The Democrats saw it. You know what's really scary right now is we sit on the precipice of several years of campaigning. And what if the Republicans, with a bad economy, With a bad economy, you mark my words, it is coming out. And where the media really is missing the boat is they're not reporting on the bad economy. Okay? With a bad economy, what will these Democrats come up with next to take away the American people's rights and steal an election? And that's what the steal is. It's real. It's not the ballots and the ballot boxes. The steal is a more, it's a, and that's what, I don't know if people know how to even talk about that, right? It's a bigger concept. When you take away the American people's rights, you tell them they can do mail-in ballots and we're not going to know who wins. The American people can, they're going, yeah, Liz. They know. This is what they see, John. So you nailed it. You hit it. You can dislike Trump all you like. What you're seeing, and it's great, you actually do a really good job of explaining it all. What you're seeing is the media industrial complex at work, and he played into it. And that's the thing that's got you so frustrated. He played into it. He wasn't prepared for it. He didn't understand. Trump knew how bad the media was. Trump knew what could go on. He knows how bad his political enemies are. Why do you think he calls them names, right? But you're right, well, John. Death of journalism. That's the whole point of the death of journalism. You're right.
As far as, Liz, as far as the COVID situation, it is important to point out, Trump tried to address that last night. I don't know if you probably didn't catch this because this was like an hour and 5 minutes into the speech where he declared that he was going to remove all of the Biden COVID restrictions and he was going to fix the whole vaccine mandate thing and give everyone their jobs back who had been fired for not taking the vaccine which I found to be funny and interesting. It's clear that somebody has convinced him that his base understands that he screwed up on this. And that especially, you know, when Candace Owens says to him, you know, your support of the vaccine is really going to hurt you with your most ardent supporters. But to me, Liz, since he was the guy who enabled all of that, he paved the path for all of that, he promoted all that, this felt a lot like O.J. Simpson declaring he was going to find the real killers. That's what it felt like to me. Donald Trump. When it mattered, where were you? And one other thing on the Fauci deal, because this is a classic John Ziegler analogy that only I could come up with, and you may like this, you may hate this, I don't know. But my wife and I are watching The Crown, which is basically now the story of the story of, you know, Charles and Diana and the Queen. But, you know, Diana's the major character right now in this new season of The Crown. Here's a John Ziegler analogy that no one else will ever come up with. I guarantee it, for better or for worse. So my view is that Charles, when he picks Diana, he doesn't realize, one, that Diana doesn't realize that this is a show, that Diana thinks this is a real relationship, right? He, you know, it's the old scene from Rocky where Apollo Creed's trainer says, he doesn't realize this is a damn show. He thinks this is a damn fight. Well, that was the problem between Charles and Diana. Charles thought everyone knew this is a show. Diana thought this was a fight and this was a real love story, right? That's number one. Number two, he didn't realize that putting her wedding on international television was going to make her a superstar of epic proportions and give her the power to bring down the entire monarchy. Well, my analogy here is that's what Trump did with Fauci. He puts Fauci on television at a time where the ratings are off the charts because there's nothing else going on. Every network is carrying them. And that celebrity gave Fauci the power to bring down the whole goddamn empire. And that's what happened. So there's the John Ziegler analogy you will never hear anywhere else. What do you think of that one, Liz?
Yes, who could have ever suspected COVID? It's so evil what they did to the American people for COVID, during COVID, to shut down and take away people's liberty like that. And now the proof is out. The proof is out. They did, you know, there's no science behind any of it. Well, are they going to bring it back, John? They're going to attempt to bring it back when they're losing an election. COVID-24 is going to come out. COVID-23. We need a year to get it going.
Well, we'll
John,
see about
that.
John,
it's not funny. It's not funny. I'm not laughing at that.
Trust me. I worry about this every day. Because now that they know the game plan, the playbook, and they know that the American people will not revolt in response, they're going to be able to do this again, regardless of the pretext, whether it's climate change or whether it's a new virus or whatever, or COVID again, who knows? I think we're a little bit more prepared now for the BS on COVID. I think they have a more difficult time doing it with COVID, not that it would be impossible. But my point here is Trump has already proven himself. You know, to me, the COVID situation is, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play? I don't care about anything else that Trump did or didn't do. He crapped the bed on that. That's a disqualifier. Sorry. Goodbye. And eventually, Liz, if we continue to do this long enough, I'm going to convince you that he's not the right guy in 2024, regardless of whether you think I'm going to be able to actually.
I think the American public should decide who the right guy okay. is. I think right. the American public should decide. And that's why we have elections. That's what I think. And I'd like to let that's us let enough. The elections okay. play out instead of everything else. You want to move on a little bit because we're getting heavy on yep. time and talk a yes. little bit about what NBC did with the Paul Pelosi
yes,
story. I started
do.
Off that's- talking about that. They suspended a Today Show correspondent, right? And they're doing a big investigation now after some of the reporting that the Today Show correspondent did on the Pelosi story, right? And for the life of me, I cannot figure out what the suspendable offense is. And I think I need to sort of read some of this stuff that was reported, right? And I don't know, John, let me read some of these things and then you respond to me. We did a whole bunch on the Paul Pelosi. You tell me what you saw in all of this. So here's how it was reported. One of the things, when officers arrived here at the Pelosi home exactly a week ago today, they initially didn't have any idea exactly what was going on. They knew they had a high priority call on their hand. What was unclear, what was happening inside the property just behind me. Okay, so he says there's no idea what's going on back there, right? So then he goes on and says, now, this is what created some of the conspiracies, but here's the reporting. The 82-year-old did not immediately declare an emergency or try to leave his home, but instead began walking several feet back into the foyer toward the assailant and away from police. It's unclear if the 82-year-old was already injured or what his mental state was, say sources. Okay, that's his report. Anything about that? He's giving us a report. Why Pelosi didn't try to flee or tell responding officers he was in distress is unclear. Okay, that's his report. He put it out there. Why? Not clear. Okay. And then one last thing. We still don't know exactly what unfolded between Mr. Pelosi and the suspect for the 30 minutes they were alone inside that house before police arrived. Okay. John, your thoughts on that? Suspended right. and an investigation is underway.
Okay, so let's go back a little bit here to the timeline. So this report originally aired on the Today Show on NBC. By a well-known, respected, longtime NBC reporter, who, by the way, is not even a white guy, which is important. I'll get to why that's important in a second. So, and this happens several days after the initial reports of the Pelosi attack, which are already creating enormous suspicion on the right. I understand why it created suspicion. There's been very little transparency. There's been a lot of details that were incorrect in the original reporting and in the police reporting of this episode. And so I get the skepticism, especially 10 days before an election. So this report comes out and immediately, Liz, the conspiracy people were latching on to every word that the reporter said as if it was gospel, because to them, it destroys this narrative that this could have been a legitimate break-in, because why was Paul Pelosi not acting like the person in the house was an intruder and that there was no emergency. He left the presence of the intruder, went to police, and then went back to the intruder, which would indicate he didn't really think he was in any danger before then getting attacked with the hammer. I get why all those questions are asked, but here's where things went awry. So the report goes out. The conspiracy people go bananas. Oh, my gosh, the smoking gun, that the narrative is false. Because this story doesn't make any sense, by the way, just to be clear, I still thought there was a way to make that narrative make sense within what we were being told, which, you know, may not be relevant to this. But to me, it wasn't that nonsensical, but that the conspiracy people who were already invested in that narrative, this was nonsensical. Almost immediately, I think it was later that day, NBC takes down the report from all of their internet platforms, from Twitter, from the website. It's gone. And it's replaced with a statement saying that the report did not meet our journalistic standards. without explanation as to, okay, why didn't it? I think they did say something about the source wasn't reliable or the sourcing wasn't reliable enough. And so then they take it down without full explanation. And then the reporter has been AWOL in the week and a half, 2 weeks since then. Now, the reason why I think it's significant that this isn't a white male, right? It is far, Liz, you know, it is far more difficult to suspend a well-known, respected minority than it would be a white male. A white male, I would think, okay, he's got no body armor, no PC body armor, so that's not that significant. But suspending this guy is significant because it goes against a lot of the woke rules. So, number one, I don't understand what is happening. I get why it's furthering the conspiracy questions. In fact, it's not just furthering the conspiracy questions, Liz. In my view, this has solidified for all time, that the conservative wing, the right wingers out there, the Trump people, will never, ever, ever, ever accept the conventional narrative of the Paul Pelosi attack. There could be the most perfect security cam footage or police cam footage released imaginable, proving everything that they said is correct. It will not matter. And the funny part to me about this, Liz, is that these conspiracy people will either take the original report, the one that got deleted, as gospel, if it fits what they want to believe, or they will also simultaneously believe that that can't be true because that's what got deleted. It will all depend on what fits their self-interest and their narrative going forward. But, you know, that's all details. The bottom line is no one on the right, on the far right, is ever, ever going to believe that the Paul Pelosi attack happened the way that the media is saying that it did. And part of the reason is, and I get it, is the complete total lack of transparency by NBC in this situation and by the media and the police in general. How is it that we've not seen any video at all of this thing in any way, shape, or form, you know, 3 weeks later is unimaginable to me. I don't get it. And I still don't believe that the conspiracy theories are correct, but I now understand why everyone will continue to latch onto them regardless of what the actual facts are.
I think for the group out there who doesn't trust elections, who the system is completely changed for them, who had their freedoms taken away, who blames the media like you do for the COVID disaster, the COVID response disaster, I think those people, for them, it's self-fulfilling prophecy. I think they look for it and they see it anywhere they can, and that's not going to go away, John. And I don't know if that can be fixed. I don't know if that'll ever be fixed. And that to me is a little depressing, but we can all think critically, can't we? Better education system. Well, we can talk about that for a long time too. But well, I think that's what you see.
I think you've nailed the most important issue here. Regardless, left, right, center, it's the complete and total lack of trust in our institutions, in our media,
yes,
in our law enforcement, especially on the FBI, on the right. I mean, it's unbelievable to me that the right no longer trusts anything out of the FBI, and I can somewhat understand why that is.
We can point to our other podcast and Louis Free,
right.
You know?
Right.
Almost
every institution, I can't even think of a major institution that still has the trust of the majority of the American people. And that's a very dangerous situation. And it's not all the people's fault. A lot of it is because the institutions themselves have failed so often, so dramatically, that they no longer warrant trust. And the media is number one on that list. And that's, of course, why we created this podcast, The Death of Journalism, which we hope that you will subscribe to, that you will rate, that you will review, that you will share with other people, because obviously we're not going to get any help in the news media spreading the word about our podcast, Liz.
And we will talk to you next time.
The Death of Journalism is a Workhouse Connect, John Ziegler production. Executive producer, Mike Agavino, with our hosts, Liz Abib and John Ziegler. You can find The Death of Journalism wherever you get your podcasts. If you like us, please give us a 5-star rating and review. Please join our Twitter community, The Death of Journalism. Thanks for listening.